members of the media, the public protector and stuff, you are all welcome. I need to say from the outset that this is not a meeting where we requested the public protector to appear before us to present a report of what is happening in her office, what the challenges are, and so on. It is a meeting that is taking place because of the concerns of members about what was happening in the public, the debates which were taking place arising from reports which were issued, a report which was issued by the public protector, which had not reached Parliament. And Parliament had to request that report to enable it to follow what was already in the public domain. And we must thank the public protector for having made that report available to us. But also there were debates in the public about the findings of the courts with regard to two cases, the South African Reserve Bank versus the Public Protector and others, Absa Bank Limited and others versus the Public Protector, and also Parliament itself had to go to court to defend Parliament, as well as the Portfolio Committee had to go to court to challenge the remedial actions issued by the public protector. And as the committee and Parliament, we take the view that the Office of the Public Protector is a very important office, and we do not want to have clouds hanging over that office. And we also don't want aspersions cast on that office. We felt that we should request the public protector to appear before us so that she can speak on her own behalf and on behalf of the office, and not the media and other people to speak on her behalf. So I want to believe that this is not the meeting where we should spend time hearing about the structure of the office, how it works, what challenges are, and, but rather a meeting which should deal with the matters that are in the public domain. We which may tarnish the image of the office, that we all have a responsibility to protect, because it is a very important office in the life of our constitutional democracy. So I hope that we will approach the matter in that manner. And that was the basis for our request for this meeting. Advocate Mukolane, are we at one on that approach?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, we thank you for clarifying the matter. We've prepared according to the agenda which you've received from your office, especially on the part of the resources. Hence, we have the presentation on the financial challenges of the office.
So we understood each other. I also said that there were matters in the public domain arising from a report that you are issuing, and that we wanted to hear from yourself, for instance, that in the execution of your duties, there were officials or politicians who did not cooperate, or to put it otherwise, who obstructed you in the execution of your duties, which in our view would be a very serious matter, because the powers that you exercise are powers entrusted to you by the Constitution of the Republic. And as politicians and as officials, we took the oath to uphold the Constitution. It can't be us as politicians or officials who obstruct you in the execution of your duties. So we would want to know if it is indeed true that some of us or some officials in government did obstruct you in the execution of your duties, and who of us are such people who did that, because that would actually be undermining the Constitution of the Republic, and that cannot be tolerated. So we want you to help us to understand how and to what extent we are failing you as politicians and as officials of the state.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I take it we are dealing with the Frieda report, where there are some information in that report relating to some of the information which were never provided then. I must indicate that the...
You are right, and also accusations against you that you suppressed information. And we want you to speak to those matters so that we don't have unnecessary and undue clouds hanging over your head.
Okay. During the investigation of the Frieda report, we call it the Frieda report, the complaint was lodged in 2013 with the Office of the Public Protector. We all know by DA member in the first stage, and again, that member, if you can allow me just to give the ground, Chairperson, In 2013, according to the report, which is public information, the said member complained about the following issues. That the Portfolio Committee in of Agriculture in the Free State around 2013 September heard from the head of the department, Mr. Tabete, that an agreement between the province and the private partners, Estina, was subject to a confidentiality clause. So that's one of the things which raised a red flag to this member. That in terms of this agreement, Estina is partnering with Varas, an Indian company, which will be holding 49% of the shares. Talking about the amounts which Estina will be paying, 228 million, and how much will the government be contributing, and that the project plans to milk how many cows. In fact, I'm just telling you what the complaint exactly which we received. And then the next one was we need to all investigate the issues of attempt to ensure transparency in the project. So that was one element. The complainant further wrote another letter. Possibly there was nothing which is moving in the office, or the office was busy investigating the matter. But he wrote an additional letter where in 2014 again, where he raised other issues, that it has come to light that Estina will only contribute if necessary, and that they were also benefiting from the supply of goods, therefore, and services from contributions from the provincial government. So there was a concern that the monies which the government will be contributing, 342 million, the Estina was inflating prices. And then they indicated what has been inflated in that complaint letter, and that the Free State government had paid 2.8 million for more for how many cows at that particular period and how much did they cost. I'm just taking you through what the complaint had and what was investigating. That the Department of Agriculture National has already supplied Free State with 40 million worth of equipment, which included tractors and other related issues. That the electronic machine, which is the milking machine, was costing 55,000 per point, which was going to be 30 million. And it also went further to say the goods and services which were provided, the prices were highly inflated. And they went on and on, and that's where they also indicated that their accounts which died in the process or allegations. By then, the Public Protector is investigating these allegations. Then 2016 again, there's a letter which came forth in May that the appointment of Estina as a partner in the project did not follow the necessary procurement processes, and that Estina misrepresented themselves, that they are a partner to this Indian company, that the contract was approved by the legal department in the office of the Premier, as confirmed by the CFO, and that Estina has was both a partner and an implementing agent, meaning there's a conflict there. And then the issue of the share price, that they would have received 49% share, whereas they would have contributed only 40%. So those were the details of the complaint which the office received. So internally, the office investigated the matter, and according to the officials from the Free State office, they then, because when we receive a complaint, we then determine what are the issues to investigate going forward. At first, when they were investigating, there were several issues which were including even the environmental impact issues and issues relating to in fact, they indicated the issue of the cows which died. They identified that as an issue, but then they never investigated that particular matter, because by then the Department of Water Affairs and Environmental Affairs dealt with that particular aspect. By 2014 already, the investigation had moved very progressively. Internally, there is also an internal think tank process where the private protector sits with the provincial reps and the senior investigators, and Free State is also represented. This matter was discussed in 2014 already, and the investigation was complete, and there was a draft a provisional report. So where the public protector gave direction to the office to finalize the report. So when the 2016 matter was referred to the public protector, already some of the items were investigated in the SDINA matter, because it relates to the procurement processes which were followed in procuring the services of Estina. And then when I joined the public protector, this report was one of the reports which was already completed, and it was not one of the matters which was forming part of the think tank list, because when we have issues which are pending, I had to make sure that all those issues which were on the agenda of the think tank we finalized. But this matter came to the fore again as a pressing matter when I visited Free State during the Public Protector roadshows, where the member of DA complained that they've been waiting for this report for a long time. When am I finalizing this particular report? And I went back to the office to check what is the status of this report. I discovered that is within head office with one of the quality assurance teams. And then I said to them, we need to check what is still missing in this particular project. But again, if there's so much money which is alleged to have been spent, I would want to go and see what's happening in the project. I had to go with the team, the Free State investigators. But by then, the project was no longer managed by SDINA. It was now managed by FDC, the Free State Development Corporation. So the report was already ready, and the only thing which was outstanding was to convert that into the Section 7-9 notices. Section 7-9 notices is when there are implicated parties. I must indicate that throughout the investigation, the complaint which was lodged was purely on what are the administrative issues and financial mismanagement. Hence, the focus of the investigation in totality focused on that. And there was no way in the report where it was also implicating a certain politicians or stuff like that. And I must indicate that the cooperation, because when the report was compiled, there were stages where the investigators were saying, we don't get cooperation from the Free State Department of Agriculture. And also when you write to the MEC, because in this one, there is a response they've received from MEC Kabata, I think. And there's nowhere where they've written MEC Zwane, the main issue which people are complaining about. And there were stages where they were not receiving documentation from the HOD, Mr. Tabete, especially of the invoices, because that's the biggest challenge which they were facing. The only invoices they received were relating to the cows which were procured, and I think it was also relating to the milking machine. And what they could do as Free State was to approach Holstein just to compare the prices, but they never went into details to check all the products, or especially when they are investigating this issue of inflated prices. They never then had to check with Holstein and check with other related companies Hence, I indicated that that process was never done or that investigation has not been done. So when the Section 79 was issued to the Premier, the MEC of Agriculture, and the HOD, then the MEC indicated, in fact, the issue which was only implicating the MEC was for the MEC to take action against the HOD, and the response was also bringing us to the our attention that the only person who can take disciplinary action in this particular aspect is the Premier, because of the appointment and the contract of employment signed between the Premier and the HOD. And the Premier responded in detail in this particular matter, and we've indicated in the report, and the HOD as well indicated that some elements will be, in fact, whatever the, possibly he prepared the response for the Premier, because he said whatever the Premier has signed is what he's standing by. And then they provided further invoices, which the office had. On receipt of those other invoices, then I had to say to the head office team, especially the executive manager responsible for the provinces, can you have a team compare what we've received from the Premier now and what is in the file from first day? So the head office team had to compare the two and check whether the figures were properly captured. And the report was almost ready for issuance. Whilst in that particular process, then I received a request from the leader of the opposition, Mr. Maimane, requesting a meeting to meet regarding the free element. In fact, he wrote several letters where we were indicating we're still investigating. I must indicate the Free State or the office never investigated also or met or interviewed the beneficiaries in this particular matter, though in the complaint it was also mentioned that they are beneficiaries in this project and they need transparency for the beneficiaries. Then on our meeting with Mr. Maimane, he brought the complainants, all of them, 80 beneficiaries to the Pilot Protector. Then on discussion with him, I then requested his assistance, because I indicated that the beneficiaries were never interviewed, but then it will help that we get the statements of the beneficiaries, because they were indicating we don't know what's happening and how we are treated. We see now things are moving, but then we also have lost our cows, because they were, some of them were indicating we're told to sell our cows and then we'll be part of this particular project. What we only had in our files, which I'm happy that as well the matter is before court, because DA and CASAC have launched a judicial review, is all the records which we have. The investigation file only has the details of the beneficiaries. Then we agreed with Mr. Maimane, and I also addressed those beneficiaries. Can you please make sure that you write your statements and all your problems and submit to the DA? Mr. Maimane agreed on that December 5th meeting to collate all the information. And also from my side, I said our Free State office should contact the DA member, whatever assistance he can provide to collect the information. Then we agreed that they will give us that information before we can issue the report. Then there was a follow-up in the Free State, and there was a stage when I think it was published in the newspaper where the member of the DA in the Free State was saying there's nothing more he should be giving to the Pilot Protector when he was followed up, that the Pilot Protector should be issuing this report, because this report anyway has been ready since 2015. And of which that's the case, because in 2015 already the think tank agreed that this report should be issued. So Then on that publication, there were also allegations now that there are some of the beneficiaries or whistleblowers who are being killed for appealing information. And for me, that was also an urgent matter to say we need to be issuing this report so that the criminal investigation, especially if people now are being threatened with their lives in this particular project, then the report needs to be issued as a matter of agency. And worse, there were stages of the HOPS continuously investigating, and there was a preservation order which was being issued against Estina or the Guptas who were running this particular project. Hence, the report was issued the way it was issued. But Chair, I must indicate that the report is taken on judicial review, and there would be a stage where we will, in fact, I'm more than willing to avail all the records in terms of Rule 53, and all the details of the records are there. Now, on the alleged suppression of evidence, which again, I wouldn't know what evidence is there to which is alleged in the Sunday Times, where again they mentioned that there are two officials who said there's from information from faceless and nameless sources that claimed they've enjoyed close proximity to the investigation, that indicated that there is evidence which is implicating politicians which has been hidden. And I would like to encourage that we study the report and get all the information. What was the complaint, what we've investigated, again, that will be the report or the records which will avail to the court on what has been investigated in this particular instance. So on the issue of the matter before court, I think honorable members and chairperson, you'd appreciate again on the nitty-gritties of dealing with this matter, because on the issue of the matter now is before court and it will be ventilated in details. Again, dealing with the issue of the sub judice rule, but all the reports which the public protector issues, nobody is stopped to take the matter on review, especially because if people are not happy with the outcomes of the report, and then the matter will be dealt with when it's ventilated in court. But the concerning issue about this matter again, chairperson, is that the two have requested again that the court should be issuing personal costs in this particular instance, which has a serious implication for the institution, which is supposed to be independent and impartial and exercise the powers without fear, favor, or prejudice. And that's the challenge which one is facing. The issue of the Gupta leaks relating to the Friede, it happened in 2017. Already the investigation has already long been completed, and hence my request that some of the issues relating to the Gupta should be moved. And there was never a complaint directly about the Friede relating to the Gupta issues. So the only complaint I've investigated relates to what complaints was lodged and relating to the mismanagement or mishandling of funds by the administration of the state. Thank you, Chairperson.
With the permission of the honorable members, I think we should deal with this part, and then we will come back to the court's judgment than what the court had said on your office. Are members happy with that? If members are happy, then we will take hands on the report as presented, and we want to thank you, Advocate Kwaban. I see that we are pointed, no long stories, because we want to make sure that all honourable members have an opportunity to put their questions, and that Advocate Nkwelane has an opportunity to answer all the questions put to her.
investigation, but you're welcome to direct me to it. In the 4-year period that you investigated the matter, you were able to conduct 6 interviews, and 2 of them were the Holstein Breeders Association. You failed to interview any of the dispossessed or the intended beneficiary. For instance, Mr. Misha Mkungwani, Mr. Isaac Mkwebani, Mr. Philemon Ngwenya, Mr. Pete Mkwena, and other beneficiaries do not reflect in your report. Did you interview them, and if not, why not? You stated when you were appointed that you were going to be the public protector for the little man, that you wanted to deal with the issues of the people. This was a golden opportunity to do exactly that. When you had the opportunity to do this investigation for the dispossessed of the Yacina dairy produce, why didn't you do it? There was nothing preventing you from extending the scope of your investigation. There was no reason why you had to get your report out at the time. And the reason that you've given, frankly, I found that a little vague and unacceptable. For instance, in the Victor League, and you must have had them too, because everyone else did, are the tax invoices for Linkway Trading. These refer to the wedding of the Gupta niece at Sun City. For instance, on hazelnut milk Linda's truffles was spent 13,000 rand of the beneficiary's money. On event services rendered, 1,387,913,879,493.55 of the taxpayer's money. You can't tell me that you don't find these egregious. There's a person called Elena flown from Moscow to Johannesburg and back to Moscow. Her ticket was 138,212 rand. Does that not bother you? Flowers for the function, 33,905 rand. That's bizarre. Scarves. 2,336,513 rand and 12 cents. That's 1,354 rand per scarf. Some people don't earn that. And this didn't bother you. You didn't think that it should be included in the scope of your investigation. Please tell me why. Are we also dealing with the CX report now? You want to save the CX report? Fine. And the documents that we handed in today, also later. Fine, then I have other questions later. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My question will be focusing on the lack of investigation into politicians' involvement. Now, I've heard what the public protectors has said in that regard, and in addition to what the Honourable Breitenbach has already mentioned in respect of her being in control of the scope, I must at the outset say that this sounds to me a bit like somebody reporting to the police that they saw that their neighbour's front window had been broken. And then the police go and investigate and find a dead body inside of the house and then take the stance that no, the complaint we received was possibly only of housebreaking, so we will only investigate housebreaking. But let's look at what is out there in terms of the involvement of politicians, Chair, and the public protector herself make mention of the fact that first of all, and importantly so, this project was never underwritten by National Treasury. So there was a meeting of the Executive Council of the Free State, all of the MECs under the chairpersonship of the Premier, Mr. Magashule, who took a decision to embark on, to implement this project without the backing of National Treasury. In fact, in the face of warnings of National Treasury that everything is not well in terms of the way this project has been crafted. Because we must also remember, and I'd like the public protector's comment on this as well, that this was not a run-of-the-mill project. It was not something identified by the department, then set up in a way that could be included as a done project to go out on tender in the budget. This was politically driven. What is out there is that the then MEC, Mr. Zwane, around the time he convinced the Executive Council to implement this project, first of all, visited India, a trip signed off by the Premier. Then when he came back, he convinced them all to buy in, despite the fact that no due diligence was either done on Eshtina or Paras. So then the question begs, with all of this glaringly out there, how can the public protector say, but I cannot, and we must remind ourselves that she's the custodian of the Executive Members Ethics Act. And I know there's no complaint in respect of that, but obviously, given the fact that this is one of her core mandates, it must always inform all of her actions. So how can she then tell us that no, I will not be focusing on what the politicians did? There's more. There was a second tranche of payments made by the provincial government in the years to come, in the face of yet more warnings by the Auditor General and the internal auditors that everything is not well with this project. Once again, approved by the Executive Council. And then, when Eshtina was finally asked to go, the then MEC, Mameki Kabata, told them, please go, because we don't want you anywhere near this project, but as a send-off gift, we won't implement the penalty clause that was included in this agreement. An agreement, by the way, Chair, which on public record was drafted within the office of the Premier. So it was not drafted by the department, by officials. It was drafted by the personal legal advisor in the office of the Premier. So the public protector, Chair, with all respect, must explain to us that how she can say to South Africans that while we all know that the people who are elected to keep the public purse, who have the ultimate duty, a fiduciary duty in terms of the Constitution, I elect not to focus on them simply because the complainant didn't ask me to. Is that to say now that going forward, politicians will go scot-free unless they are specifically named in complaints, even if it is glaringly obvious that they didn't act, if I can quote from the Executive Members Ethics Act, in a way which is consistent with their duties in terms of the law? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hon. Honourable Staff.
Good morning, Public Protector. Just at the outset, we need to remind ourselves of the Constitutional Court's words where they said the tentacles of poverty run far, wide and deep in our nation, and by establishing the public protector, the fathers and mothers of our Constitution conceived of a way to give even to the poor and marginalized a voice and teeth that could bite corruption and abuse excruciatingly. My concern is that in the report there's no mention of the beneficiaries that lost out. There's no mention of their particular names. Was there not space to refer to them in particular? Mr. Isaac Mkwebani, it might be family of yours, but I doubt. Mr. Philemon Ngwenya, Mr. Peter Mkwena, others. There are many, many. And one senses that their voices were not properly heard. Secondly, the issue of the one finding relating that the very office of the Premier of the Free State, which must now initiate and institute disciplinary actions against those implicated officials. Is there not a conflict of interest given the role that they themselves play? And so this is why we have concerns about the findings in this particular matter. The direct question is, to what degree were you pressurized, or your Free State office, pressurized by politicians? Because if one considers the evidence before us, and one can look now with hindsight where we are fully aware of the role that the Guptas have played, but there was a lot of evidence in the public domain. Besides the leaks, we know that the Mail and Guardian has been reporting comprehensively on the SENA issue since 2014. Why was that reporting also ignored? And so when one looks at the totality, one sees almost a protection, and this, you correctly say, will be a subject of review, but a protection, a political protection of Gupta-related people to the severe detriment of the poor people, the beneficiaries that should have received the benefit of this project. And to say it as a lack of capacity, it just does not wash. Because you yourself, in your act, you've got powers in terms of Section 73A, which enables you to request assistance from any person, which could be the National Treasury, it could be the Auditor General, it could be the Special Investigating Unit. And your findings here are in stark contrast to your predecessor findings in the State of Capture report. At the very least, one would have expected some referral in terms of Section 64C1 of your Act, where you are enabled, in terms, if you are of the opinion that the facts disclose the commission of an offence by any person, to bring that matter to the notice of the relevant authority, being the NPA or the Hawks, they could, and we now know subsequently, since the Hawks have overcome the avian flu, that there has been action taken place, and we know the asset forfeiture unit has taken action. But it seems too little too late when one looks at the totality, the role of Mr. Zwani going to India, conclusive evidence. And we know, myself sitting on the parliamentary inquiry into Eskom, his role, definite role that he played in the state capture of Eskom. So if you could focus on those issues, then your comment about the costs, it's a request for costs against you, but it can never be said that the mere application for costs against you undermines your independence as an institution. You already know that costs were granted against you personally in the ABSA matter for very well-documented reasons, where the court made it very clear that it seems to be that you misunderstand your constitutional duties, and we'll deal with that at a later stage. So I don't think it's correct to say that it is vexatious to request costs, because it's been too long that institutions, government institutions, have hidden behind the taxpayer to pay legal costs when they have been reckless in litigation. And this is an issue. You know my views on this about reviews, and I understand the costs and the financial burden it places upon your office, since there have been far more reviews, it places constraints upon you, but then every decision you take must be justifiable in terms of the Constitution and the law to avoid costs orders. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning. No, thank you. I think I have only one question, Chair. because from the presentation of the public protector, it is clear that this matter came before she got into the office. And the issues that were long time back before she started in the office, I think that is getting very clear. And what I was saying was that it is clear that this matter was brought to the attention of the institution before the public protector came to the office. And if you just fast forward on issues that we have already conversed, particularly issues that relate to the leaks, Gupta leaks, those are issues that would be a subject of the Commission of Inquiry that is already being established. So my question to the public protector is that in view of the fact of all these things and in view of the sub judice role, because these matters are in court, these matters will be conversed also, is it possible that the office maybe reopen the matter, study it afresh in view of the issues that are raised here? Because if we were to come here and just raise issues that we may be having more information about, it may just create some problems. So my question is just that if we were to start the matter, relook at it, because that will also avoid some of the review processes that are in, and take care of all the issues that other colleagues have raised. But I take a serious point that the matter was concluded before she came into the office. So maybe we may also as a committee recommend that let's look at those issues that are highlighted, let's look at them, and those that belongs to the Commission of Inquiry, for purposes of cost and resources involved, they must be shifted to the Commission of Inquiry, but look at those that are within the scope and the jurisdiction of public protector as it stands now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Bongo.
Kosana. Yeah, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the reference to the public protector and the team. I think we were noting that this report is being taken for judicial review. Well, however, I just want to ask you, I think, a procedural and operational question. I think previously, I think when the Office of the Public Protector dealt with the high-profile cases, like this one of the three cases that involve such a lot of public interest. When the Office of the Public Protector maybe finalized the report and then the office issued it in terms of Section 182, subsection 1B, and also submitted in terms of Section 8, subsection 3 of the Public Protector Act, there would normally be a media briefing, just because it's a matter that attracts a lot of public attention. So there would be a media briefing whereby the Office of Public Protector would therefore brief the public to say, this is how far are we in terms of this particular report, this is what we have found, so we are now submitting this report to the relevant party in terms of Section 8 of Section 3 of the Public Protector Act. But when dealing with this particular case, I think it looks like the Office of the Public Protector decided to handle it away from the media. And if it's away from the media, it means it's away from the public. I think as different media houses were also guessing that it looks like the Public Protector would be submitting a report or has submitted a report. So it was not clear because it was handled away from the public. So I think I just want to know the reason why it was handled like that this time around. Well, the second question is the one in relation to the issue of not having interviewed the intended beneficiary, well, up until such time that there was a meeting between the public protector and Mr. Maimai questioning the very same issue. I just want to know as to the reason, as to why initially there was no interview or interaction between the Office of the Public Protector and the Internet beneficiary. Because in my view, the Internet beneficiaries, I think they are central in this whole thing because they are the most affected parties. So I just want to know as to why there were no interviews up until that intervention by Mr. Maimani. Well, the last question, Honorable Chair, I had the public protector saying that at some point she struggled to get some of the information from the Department of Agriculture in Free State due to their lack of cooperation. So just want to check that at this point, from where the public protector is seated, is she satisfied that all the required information she got it before the finalization of the report? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and let me take this opportunity to greet the public protector and the team. Chair, as I was listening to the public protector, I got the feeling that the report was long concluded and could have been issued around 2015. Now I want to check. Why then, what could have been the reason that the report could not have been tabled then? And when you came in public protector, what did you do? Was yours just to look at the report and then to come up with the remedial action, which is what was leaking then? And my major concern also is that the one raised by Honorable Skosana, the issue of the beneficiaries. It says here that several issues were not investigated due to capacity and financial constraints. Is that inclusive of the issue of the beneficiaries? Because if it is, then it gives me a big problem. Remember, public protector, we expect your office to make the vulnerable their own liberators. Now, if we sideline them, even from this esteemed office, to me it becomes a very big problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Members. Good morning, Public Protector. Media. And Chairperson, it's always a problem for one to be nearly the last speaker because there are, no, I know I'm not the last, because the issue which I wanted to raise was the one of intended beneficiaries. However, Chairperson, with your guidance, the two cases you say will be entertained later. Correct? Yes, okay. In terms of Section 182, Public Protect, which established, of the Constitution, which establishes the Public Protector and also gives powers and functions to the office. The office is supposed to be accessible to all persons and communities. And however, the issue of not interviewing the intended beneficiary of the project deceives the same person. And earlier on, I'm aware that, as Honorable Bongo has already alluded to, that this report Before, thank you, Chair. Before your assumption to this office. However, the institution, we are not talking about the institution, not a person per se. But I'm a little bit worried because non-engagement with the beneficiary is a very, very serious omission. And maybe you have heard that most of the members, nearly 89% of the members here, alluded to this fact. Maybe you may clarify us and the public why such a very, very serious omission. However, thank you for the presentation. Other issues that Chairperson has alluded to, we'll engage on later. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and members, and greetings to the public protector, Advocate Nkwerani. My first question arises from page 4 of your presentation, paragraph number 3, which you, in terms of the complaints about the 30 million, which was used for design, environmental impact assessment, planting of folders, and et cetera. So I wanted to know whether the public contractor managed to get the breakdown of the expenditure to quantify this 30 million. That's the first question. The second question is on page 7, on paragraph C again, about the conflict in terms of the premier of the Free State, because the CFO during the interview confirmed that the office of the premier legal team, that the one who signed the contract. So it goes to the second last paragraph about the results of the investigation by the National Treasury, which recommend to the same premier that the HOD and the CFO must be charged to go under disciplinary processes, which the premier ignored that. To show that public protector, this was a clear syndicate by the premier and his people there. Because if you can check it in the portfolio committee in the legislature there, the chairperson was also playing a defensive mechanism not to be asked anything about this project. So the problem now is on your remedial action. You never mentioned who must deal with the premier in these circumstances. Because you again give the premier to submit a report within 30 days. What about the matter which conflicts himself as a premier? Because here he's been seen that he's playing a very important role. So there's nothing where the premier is held accountable here in the presidential election. So in page 8, there are about 10 issues. You said they were never investigated or entertained because of lack of financial capacity. So we want to know as the committee that at the present moment, do you have any capacity? Do you still have some financial shortage in order to investigate some important matters, because this matter is a public.
I'm just close. I don't know what the problem is there.
I think it must be clear on what we are talking about. And I guess we are not asking you to talk about proceedings in other meetings. we are dealing with the matters before us now. Could you please deal with matters before us and not take us into other forums that said before?
No, thanks, Chairperson. I was talking, as I said, that
and the report that we're talking about, members are entitled to know which report you are talking about.
Yes, Chairperson. As I said, I'm talking about page 8, Roman figure number 8. Page 8, Roman figure number 8 is there on this document which was supplied to us. If you can read there.
I think any document that we are referring to has a name, and to assist everybody to know which is the report we are dealing with, give us the name of that document. Don't just wave it into the air, because that won't help us.
No, sorry, Chairperson. I thought maybe members were interfering with this document, but nevertheless, is the report of the public protector in terms of section 182, 1B of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, and section 81 of the PP Act report. Page 8, Roman figure 8. That's the report I'm talking about, that the public protector is telling us here that there are some issues they didn't entertain because of lack of finance and capacity. My question now is, Madam VP, now do you have the capacity to deal with important issues like this, the capacity in terms of human resources and financial resources? That's my question. And Mr. Muila, I understand you are there now.
No.
Okay? So, the last, I have another question about the public protector said there were officials who were not cooperating with the national team which went to Free State. I wanted to know what measures maybe the public protector can say for those officials who do not cooperate with the people signed to go and investigate public money. And the issue of conflict of interest of the Premier himself, through the media, confirmed that his son has a business relationship with Guptas. So, and here we had the company which was dealing there, the Guptas, we heard about the payment of wedding, of Gupta weddings and everything. So it's a matter of concern for us, the public protector, that in our remedial actions, the Premier must be included, that what step must be taken against him. Thank you.
Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to you, fellow members, and the leadership from the Public Protector's Office and the Public Protector. As you know, Chairperson, if you are the last person to ask questions, who is the one short of the questions those colleagues would have taken everything. But I've just had just few to ask. Public Protector, you said the report was completed in 2015 and then was ready to be released. I just want to know whether when you took over office, did you discuss this report with your predecessor, Advocate Madonsela, during the process of handover? I'm of the view that there was that process. Did you touch on this report? Maybe did she review as to why some of the things were not covered, especially the issues of the colleagues have been referring to, interviewing beneficiaries? Because, Chairperson, that one is something that I share with my colleagues. Whatever we do as the government, we are doing it for our people there to benefit. Now, if something that concerns them like this, but they are not involved, or their story is not listened to, it's not okay. It's not a good thing that we should do as the government. I also urge the foreign protector that going forward, ordinary citizens of this country must be the priority. I remember she promised us that during the interview that she was really going there to work for ordinary citizens. Now we are discovering things like this where they are excluded in such important issues. I urge the public protector that going forward, please prioritize our people, especially on issues of thorny issues like this one. Number two, in your knowledge, have the Premier of the State instituted the DC against implicated officials as per the remedial action that you provided. And also, it's true that what my colleagues are saying, that the Premier is alleged to be involved, and it was all over in the media. I just want to know whether have you considered also writing to the President as the boss of the Premier for an advice as to what should happen to the Premier. Because if he's going to discipline the officials that are reporting under him, definitely his boss as well must do something if there is conclusive evidence that he is implicated. But that's the chapter thing, the issue of the Gupta links, it appears for the protector that it needs a separate new investigation. Now I will also ask the same question that Honorable Bongo asked, that in light of these allegations, is the office prepared to reopen the investigation of the matter? Because it has been all over the public domain. But also still there on the issues of contaminants. I just want to know that in your office, do you have any formal complaint, apart from the media, lodged against them in relation to this project? And if yes, how far is that in that matter? If not, then will you consider reopening the investigation on this matter? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Guterres, you didn't raise your hand. Thank you very much. Tabani?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members, for the question. Chairperson, I would like to again, before responding to the question, remind the House and the Chairperson about the subjudication. But I would want so much to cooperate and work with the committee, and I wouldn't want this process to interfere with the functioning of the court in violation of Section 165(3) of the Constitution, because this matter will be adjudicated in court. And I have indicated to the House that we will avail all the records in terms of Rule 53, and again that the aggrieved parties have taken the matter to court because of the issues which have an impact on this particular matter. And again, I have experienced a situation where some of the information which you mentioned on matters which are before court, even possibly issues which are in the media, sometimes they find themselves in the court proceedings where sometimes you mentioned an issue is in a certain context and that matter also is brought there and you don't have an opportunity to clarify that particular aspect. So I just wanted to just have an opening that some of the issues I wouldn't be dwelling much on because this process is before court. And responding to Honorable Breitenbach, I think you are quite aware, Advocate, that the Power Protector doesn't have jurisdiction over any criminal matter, issues relating to, because you've referred to money laundering theft, and which were not investigated, and those issues are criminal matters which are being investigated by the Hawks. Indeed, that was never investigated. And again, to confirm that the matter was finalized, the investigation, according to the information from the investigators in my office, the investigation was completed in 2014, and already by 2015 at the think tank, it's an internal structure discussing all the reports where there would be a publishing of the search report, and the decision was taken that the report is ready. And what happened is that the only time the state office had to be engaged about this report, it was in 2017 when I visited, in fact 2016 when I visited Free State, and the matter was raised that this report should be issued. So that addresses the issues relating to the investigation. On the issue of why I didn't increase the scope, the investigation, all the investigation when I joined the Public Protector Office, a lot of them are like this one, which were at an advanced stage and the report has been drafted. Already the issues, because when we receive a complaint, we assess the complaints, we determine the issues on what happened, what should have happened, and the difference from what happened and what should have happened, and the prescripts applicable to this. This matter purely focused on the issues of maladministration and the issue of the way the resources or the agreement was entered into, the way the project was managed, and the way the Free State Department managed this project. It was more of the investigation focused a lot on the violations of the PFMA. And again, I agree with you, Advocate Breitenbach, that a lot of the information which, in fact, the report of the National Treasury was, yes, incorporated in this, because indeed the HOD and the relevant officials violated the prescripts as far as this matter is concerned. On why not increasing the scope, a lot of the reports the Power Protector we draft, there is an element of the prejudice suffered by the complainants. And in this particular instance, the investigation never concentrated much on the beneficiaries. It concentrated more on the gist of the complaint, how the agreement was entered into, the issue of inflation of the prices, and the issue relating to the monies which were spent, and there was no product which was produced. And I indeed agree that the issue of the Gupta leaks, and which I've mentioned, again, the investigation, the way we conduct it, we don't just write or take information from the media and include that information in the report. Again, we're going to be facing a challenge where we are accused, because any other person will also be having a challenge that you cannot use any information just because it's mentioned in the media and use that as the evidence. Because when you have to use that information, you'll have to go and investigate yourself as the public protector and satisfy yourself that this is the information which I have on record, and is the information which, even if taken to court, I'll be able to defend, unlike taking an information which you hear from the media. Indeed, the Gupta leaks were received by the office from Outer, and I shared the information with the Free State office to say this is the information, but we cannot rely on this information. We will have to do our own investigation. But then when we discussed again, it was an issue that already the report is what was focusing on a totally different different issues. And I indicated earlier, Honorable Kwabe, that the Gupta leaks, in fact, there's no complaint which is received by the public protector specifically relating to the Friede matter and the Sun City wedding. The issues which were lodged by CASA to the office, especially relating to the Gupta leaks, they are part of the investigation, mostly relating to, is there in the statement where I was verifying the issue of the terms of reference, where some of the issues which are indicated in the Gupta leaks are some of the issues which I was saying, if they can also be included in the state of capture terms of reference. But then this one is not part of that, and there was no direct complaint about the Gupta leaks in 2017. Hence, I've indicated this report was investigated 2013-14. Already the investigation was complete, and then it was ready for issuance in 2015. And the Nkandla judgment, Honorable Swart, I agree with you. Indeed, that's our focus as an institution, that everything we do, we need to make sure that whoever is impacted by the decision of our investigation or of the maladministration needs to be given a redress. The beneficiaries, the way the office investigated, it was only getting their details, because in the original complaint was referring to the issue of what the beneficiaries should be, there should be transparency as far as how this project should be managed. Indeed, I think dealing with Honorable Horn's question also why some of the complainants were not interviewed. It was only like since 2013-14, only getting their details, their IDs to see is there beneficiaries or is just allegations. So that information was acquired from the Department of Agriculture. And in fact, by that time, there were only 78 beneficiaries whose details were received, all of them. But then those beneficiaries were never interviewed. Hence, I'm saying, when meeting with the Honorable Maimane, that was the time when I wanted us to get the details of the beneficiaries, which were not forthcoming, but at the end of the day, the key focus of the investigation was that. Again, if expanding a scope just at the report writing stage, again, that's one of the issues which one was accused of doing in the Mafi judgment on CX, that how can we include issues of relating to the prejudice which is suffered by South Africans in that particular aspect, but you're still going to deal with that matter. Therefore, you cannot just include information which you didn't investigate in the drafting of the report. And I agree that indeed the beneficiaries were impacted in this matter, but the investigation never focused on the beneficiaries. The investigators focused on the violation of prescripts by especially the accounting officer and stuff like that. The conflict of interest of the Premier.
It is not permissible to raise banners in the Committee of Parliament if that continues. The holders of the banners will disqualify themselves from being present in the meeting. This is a committee of the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. It is an organ of Parliament elected by the people of South Africa. We all have to respect the people of South Africa who elected this parliament. So can we all lower the posters or leave the hall?
Chair, I suggest we should possibly adjourn the meeting for a few minutes.
The meeting will stand adjourned. We will not leave the room, but we can continue the meeting when the defiance of the committee and the Parliament of the Republic. I hate to say that unless those who are raising the banners lower them, they will have to be removed by people that are entitled to maintain order in the proceedings of Parliament. I hate to have to say that, and I would request that you voluntarily lower the banners or leave the house to avoid unnecessary will we ask those that are responsible for the maintenance of order in the proceedings of the committee to ensure that nothing happens in this meeting which should not happen? Can you move in and ensure that
conflict. can't tell from just reading that.
I must apologize to the honorable members. We didn't foresee that anything of this kind would happen, and therefore we didn't take the necessary measures to prevent it. But I think we are happy that those that were not supposed to do what they did agreed to leave the room without any inconvenience to ourselves. May we proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Conflict of interest by the Premier, that matter was not investigated, and the matter can likely be investigated if the complaint is lodged in terms of EMEA, because as I've indicated, the focus of the investigation was purely on administration or maladministration and the abuse of state resources by the administration. A referral to Honorable Swart, the remedial action didn't include this because already the matter was at an advanced stage, as I've indicated, that the Hawks already acquired a preservation order against the impacted officials. Indeed, the Public Protector Act does allow one to do that, hence there would be referral to either the DPCI or to some of them. We also refer the SIU to conduct an investigation. And indeed, in the investigation, there was never a point where one is not taking into consideration the provisions and the prescripts and what laws have been violated, especially the Constitution. And that was purely based on what the complaint was, and the investigation focused on the issues which were there. And when the report, because the report, when I joined the office, the report already was at an advanced stage. But then it was not issued immediately when I joined. It was an issue of making sure that I go and see, as I said, I conducted an inspection in loco, but again, I requested further details, especially after meeting with the DA. About the complainants, where I requested their information. But that was already, issues already have already been determined, and the issue of the prejudice to the complainant, which was also never investigated. I must indicate that matter was never investigated, hence it was never included as one of the issues, because the complainant focused more on a thinner, the agreement which has been signed, whether the procurement processes were followed, whether the prices which were charged by that company were inflated. And I must indicate that the agreement was drafted by the legal department in the Premier's office. Hence, one of the findings is that the disciplinary action should be taken against whoever or the officials, because those officials in the legal department, the way the agreement was drafted as well, it was in such a way that it was, you can consider it as not being properly drafted, and it allowed a lot of leeway for the company compared to protecting the government. And that is part of what the remedial action or the finding was, and the remedial action to that effect was taking disciplinary action. And the decision which was taken by EXCO, Honorable Home, the information which we have in the report, that decision was taken by the executive, and the provincial treasurer was represented in the meeting. But then the process was delegated, or they gave everything to Mr. Tabet to run with the process. If you could see, the agreement has been signed by Mr. Tabet, especially the agreement between Espina and the government. And in the investigation and the records which we are having, all the information was pointing to the relevant officials, hence the investigation concentrated more on them. And on the issue of Mr. Skosana, the public interest, the report, I'm obliged in terms of the Public Protector Act to publish the report. The publication, I can use any form of publication. It's not obligatory for me to call a media briefing. But in this particular instance, the report was published in the Public Protector website. The media statement was issued to this particular instance. So the Section 8, Subsection 3 says the report should be published unless the issues of confidentiality which the public protector might decide not to publish the report. So the issue of publishing the website was part of publishing the report. Honorable Maina, yes, the report was ready for issuance because the records in the Public Protector Office reflect that the report, the investigators were informed that the think tank decided the report has been finalized. It should be issued in 2015 already, but it was never issued. And the only time the matter was revived, it was when I joined the office and I had to ask, why are we not issuing this report? Because it's a matter of which is been raised by the executive or the members of parliament in Free State. And I agree with you that the focus, especially of the Public Protector, the Vision 2023, is the focus on the grassroots and empowering the beneficiaries. That particular aspect can be investigated as a separate matter. I think Honorable Gogo asked whether this matter can be opened. I'm fundus officio, so that report is issued, is finalized, unless set aside by a court of law. Therefore, if there's new, there can be a complaint which is lodged, and one can investigate, or then it can be an own initiative where we investigate that part of the beneficiary. But I must indicate that the judicial review by CASAC has one of the prayers is the report be referred back to the Public Protector for investigation. Honorable Mutapo, indeed the. That is a constitutional obligation for accessibility of the public to the Office of the Public Protector, and again repeating the fact that the grassroots are the key, and the issue of the beneficiaries, because most of our reports have an issue dealing with the prejudice suffered by the complainants. normally that aspect is dealt with. But in this one, it was never dealt with because there was no investigation, especially on the prejudice by the beneficiaries. The focus was more on maladministration and all those. But again, as I say, that this matter, when it's brought back to the public protector, or then the investigation can be on all initiatives to investigate this particular matter. Honorable Mulaudzi, the 30 million on page 4 of the report, whether we have the death breakdown, I don't know whether we've checked police, whether did we check what was there, because we do, in the body of the report, you'll see that there is a lot of invoices which we received from some of the invoices which we received from the Free State Department, the ones which I was saying, some of them were received when I joined the office. A lot of resistance was when this matter was investigated. And when the investigation was conducted, there was never a stage where possibly a subpoena is issued, because in terms of the Public Protector Act, you can issue a subpoena or you can subpoena the documents. And I indicated that when I took over, the report was drafted, and when we issued the Section 7-9, it's when some of the invoices, they were submitted by the Office of the Premier with the response to the Section 7-9. So if you go through the report, I think page five of the Prieder report. But I think in the body of the report, I just wanted a page in the body of the report where we are analyzing all the statements. But page five, what does it say? I think page 5, it does indicate that the top range rotary machine, the cost was 55,000 per point, and for 82 points it was should not have cost more than 4.5 according to Holstein. But then this was charged at 30 million. So that 30 million was the price of this rotary milking machine, according to the information which we received. And then on page 7, you are referring to the issues which were never investigated. Or the contract which was signed by the legal department. I think that I've explained to Honorable Horn that the very same legal department, because we were saying the contract, the way it's drafted, appeared to be not complying to some of the prescripts of the law of contract, and that's one aspect where those officials should be disciplined. The Premier never charged the officials, ignored that. Because in his response, he indicated that after the Accountant General has issued the report where there was a recommendation to take disciplinary action against the CFO and the CEO, then he indicated that he's waiting for the Public Protector to finalize the report before he can act. So he never acted immediately. So that's one aspect which has been indicated in the report that he never. So now, because the report is finalized and we indicated that he must take action within 30 days, I think that will be done. My concern also is, as I've raised, is that there was no complaint about the executive, the violation of the Executive Members Ethics Act by the Premier. And there's nothing which is stopping members of the executive to do that as far as this matter is concerned. But this matter, when it was lodged, it focused more on the issue of the way the contract and the resources were utilized. And if it comes to the investigation in terms of EMEA, then that's where the issues of conflict of interest and the issues of the behavior of the Premier in terms of the law will be dealt with in detail. And there was a question about whether we have the capacity, because some of the issues we never investigated, especially the one of the death of the cows, it was never investigated because already the Department of Water Affairs and Environment dealt with. And then the other issues, we relied on the report of the Accountant General because already the value for money aspects were dealt with in that particular report, and there are observations and findings as far as that is concerned. And on the issue of the capacity now, I think there's no capacity in the office, and yes, our budget has been cut further in this financial year, so we don't have the capacity. On the issue of the officials, they've been dealt with, so they'll have to be dealt with. The issue of the Gupta wedding and the Gupta leaks, as I indicated earlier, there was no direct complaint, but then that is not stopping the office from or any complaint being lodged, and we can investigate that particular aspect. Again, not doing own initiative, it's considering the capacity which the office is having, because the Public Protector Act does allow the Public Protector to conduct own initiative investigation. Honorable Kwabe,
Chairperson?
Mwabe.
Yes, Mwabe. My father can be really.
My apologies, Honorable. Yes, I didn't see you, so I thought they were saying Kwabe. Honorable Mwabe, yes, the report was ready in the think tank. It was discussed and finalized by them. And you saying during the handover, the handover report which I received, the matter was not part of those included, but it was part of the, as I've indicated, it came to the fore when I went to the Free State, and there was that complaint that this report should have been issued long time ago. And again, when I requested the beneficiary information, the complainant was also saying, but this report is complete, it was ready for issue. And so it was part of that process of making sure that all the matters which are ready for finalization are dealt with. And I agree with the issue of the beneficiaries. The reopening, it is not possible because of the Funtus Officio rule, and one of the players is to take the matter back to the Public Protector. On the issue of the Gupta leaks, the complaints which we've received about the Gupta leaks, which was lodged by CASAC, this matter of Friede was not included in them, and I've mentioned in the statement that some of the issues which were additional to the state of capture, which were not part of the report, the allegations which were relating more on ESCOM and issues relating to high-level information by Minister Mutambi and all those, but the issue of fairness was never part of the complaint. Again, it doesn't stop the complaint be lodged to specifically investigate that particular matter. Thank you, Chairperson.
Members, have you been answered? Can we close this chapter, Honorable Spokesman?
Yeah, no, thanks, Honorable Chair. Yeah, I think on my part I'm answered except on one question where you may ask about the public protector indicated earlier that she struggled to get some of the information from the Department of Agriculture in Free State due to the level of cooperation. So I then asked as to is she satisfied where she is seated about the information that she was able to get, as you indicated earlier that she struggled to get some of the information. Is she satisfied that she received the necessary information when she concluded the report?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Look, I don't know if the public protector is aware that as we speak now, no action has been taken against individuals pointed in the Free the Berry scandal. As we speak now, Mr. Tabeta is still reporting for duty as usual, as business as usual. As she brought us to know from the Premier of the Free State, whoever that Premier is, I don't care, what corrective measures has been taken in relation to the report of the Public Protector in relation to Friede, especially about officials who are implicated, and secondly, I must express our disappointment as members of Parliament, especially speaking on behalf of the economic freedom fighters, that the Public Protector general attitude is pushy footing on the findings her office makes and adopts an attitude of I don't care. We wonder at what when will that attitude come to an end? Can I be allowed to speak? Can I be protected, Honorable Chair?
Can we allow the freedom of speech? Because it would be difficult to prescribe how people point of order. Let's hear the point of order.
I think it is not correct to attack the person to protect. But I think it is not allowed. To say, to attack the public protector, particularly in a meeting. All I request that the speaker could probably talk about something else, about the word, but not the person of the public protector. Thank you very much.
We have had a report. Can we put questions on the report other than a past judgment? Because the idea is that we must get an account of what happened, not to pass judgments. That belongs to something another time.
Well, I hope you're not sustaining the point of order, because that point of order is in itself entirely out of order.
You as to the approach.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much, Gork. For not sustaining that out of order. Because it is itself out of order. So let me proceed.
Excuse me.
This is my last comment.
I just wanted to find out, are you saying that it is correct for the honorable member to attack the person of the public protector?
My answer is that this is the time to put questions, and Honorable Matthias must pass us questions, not to attack or pass judgment.
I want to know from the public protector that has she taken trouble on the basis of comparative analysis of what would have been the money or the value of the investigation which was carried out by the Free State Department of Agriculture in Russia on the specification, the required specifications needed to initiate a project of that magnitude, which cost taxpayers more than 230 million. Whether has such a comparative study or analysis done? If such a study or a service was acquired internally in the country, because I can tell you there are specialists in dairy consultancy and dairy projects who would have provided whatever form of service at price less than what was paid for a study carried out in Russia.
Do you have questions?
Yes.
My question was related to the what the protector mentioned about the funds being reduced. I thought that we changed the recommendation that more money could be given to them. Now, I just want to find out because you talked about
we're still going to come back to that.
Based on the response of public protector on Saturday, which literally translated, he said one can comment before matters which are before the court. Maybe Chairperson, one should refer the public protector, as you referred to section 165, subsection 3 of our constitution. Also refer the public protector to a recent court judgment, Chairperson, of 2014, Multi-Choice PTY Limited and others, that was MPA and another in Re-State versus Pistorius and another related matter, 24 citation, 2014, two in brackets, all South Africa, 446 in brackets, DP, whereby it was said that in that Pistorius case, the interest of the public to be informed is of paramount importance as compared to the interest of the accused. In that case, it was Pistorius. Thank you so much. So I'm saying that we are not dwelling much into the merits of that particular case, but it doesn't mean that when we mention some aspects relating to that, then we are sort of interfering with what she's alluding to. So my humble submission is that some of the issues that we raise, let her respond to, with your respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tabo. I think she has heard for herself that these questions can be answered without violating the sub-judicator. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Khosana, I indicated that yes, the office struggled to get information. We've indicated in the report when they were investigating. Some of the report we acquired it late, especially some of the invoices, because all along they didn't have the invoices of procuring the cows, they didn't have the invoices of procuring the milking machine. So some of the information was acquired when we sent the, in fact, I visited for the inspection in loco, and then some of the information that's when they got from the Free State. And then when I sent the Section 79 to the Premier, that's when they received, we received second invoices regarding this particular matter. So the report was dealing with the experiences or the challenges which the office faced when they were investigating the matter. Honourable Matthias, we've given the Premier 30 days to give us the implementation plan and start implementing the report. We'll have to, the 30 days has not yet lapsed, but we'll make sure that we monitor this process very strictly and to make sure that the remedial actions are implemented. And the office and the team or the public protector, we are doing all our best to deal with the investigations, especially the backlog cases, which we are trying to finalize as quickly as we can so that we can clear the backlog and also find justice for the complainants. The comparative analysis aspect was never investigated, but then on page 8 of the report, we've indicated what issues which we never investigated, whether or not prices for goods services procured were inflated, especially alleged expenses and respective. So it was issues like that. But then on the issue of the comparative analysis in our investigation, we never did that, because also we only checked the prices of wholesale, and there were no other, during the investigation, there were no other companies which were approached in this particular aspect. So hence I indicated that the report focused more on the utilization of resources, especially by the accounting officer after signing the agreement, and whose agreement also we had the finding that it was not compliant. Honourable Mutapo, on the issue of the sub judice rule, yes, it was my opening to say some of the issues I'll leave to the court to ventilate on, and especially on the experiences in other matters which were taken to court, where some of the statements which the power protector has indicated in the media are used in some of the court papers against the office, where it's not, the context is also not dealt with. So I would I agree with you that we will cooperate fully with the committee on this matter.
Would it be correct to say that this was a project of the provincial government, decided by the Premier in Council, and that the officials were merely implementing decisions of government? Now, can you explain to us why the focus is on the implementation by officials, and when there is non-cooperation, wouldn't it have been prudent to go to the principals to say the implementers are not cooperating because the project belonged to the political politicians, not to the officials who were implementing?
Indeed, it was a provincial EXCO decision where the all executive sits, and where you find that the provincial treasury is the one which will advise on the aspects of implementation of the project, the resources, how they should be spent. And in this particular instance, the delegated authority of the implementation was given to the HOD of Agriculture, and who also was delegated to sign the very same agreement. The way the agreement was captured or was crafted, but he signed it and he was responsible for implementing. The issue of going to the principals, in the report we've indicated that there was an interview of Honorable Kabate where the officials were not providing information. And again, the record which I have as an office, there's no record where there was a stage in the past when they were struggling with the information. They issued a subpoena. As I said, the public protector, you do have the right to subpoena information or subpoena any person. So in this instance, that was never done. But I said to the person that when the report was presented and the information, they are mentioning that we don't have the following information from the office. After my visitation, they received more information which they have been requesting. So in this particular instance, we mentioned the lack of cooperation because that's what they've experienced during the investigation. But when we were at the end of the investigation issuing the Section 7-9, some of the information was submitted, but then when they responded, they provided other information. And I agree, Chairperson, that in this particular instance, the unfortunate part is that when the HOD was interviewed, or the responses from the HOD, because that's where the issues of some of the investigations which are conducted, as one of Limpopo against the Executive Members Ethics Act investigation, where the MEC was involved in the procurement issues and that impacted, or the processes were not followed. And the finding was against the MEC and the HOD because the MEC was involved in that particular process. But in this one, the investigation revealed that this process was driven by the HOD through and through. And you don't find anywhere where you can find, discover that when you interview or when you get documentation, some of the documentation relates to the executive. The only aspect is when the involvement of MEC Kabata, when there was information which they were following up, which we have on our record, when they were following up on some of the information from the Free State.
Can you say that you exhausted everything to ensure that all those that were involved in the executive and in the administration who had to provide answers were given an opportunity to do so, before you finalize your report, and that they cooperated with you.
Yes, Chairperson, as far as taking over the matter, again, I still repeat, in the report, the issue of non-cooperation was during the investigation. And on engaging with the officials, I think it was one doctor, I think Masiting, or when I visited the Vrede Farm, when I was going around and the officials or the investigators were saying, we're still waiting for all the details or the invoices and the beneficiary details. When they approached them, that information they could get. And from the my side, when we wrote the Section 79, when the Premier and the when they were responding to the allegations, rebutting whatever we were saying in the Section 79, they also submitted the invoices where I indicated that I requested the head office team to sit with the record from the Free State. They are some of the invoices they provided and the invoices which we received to compare the two. I think in the report we've also indicated what we received before and what was sent during 2017. But the only challenge which is I'm having, Chairperson, is that there was no stage where the executive or the politicians were investigated on their own, and there's no information in the record which I'm having where they are saying possibly we've asked the following questions to this particular person and the person has not responded. Again, I'm still saying the MEC Kabate is mentioned here that he responded at this particular, because there is a meeting which was held with not a meeting, I think it was letters which were written to the MEC during the investigation. And the MEC responded, but apparently it was not enough, and then there were follow-up letters to that MEC. Because in this particular instance, there's nowhere where it mentions letters which were written directly to the Premier during the investigation about his role, or directly to the then other MEC of Agriculture.
Are you convinced yourself that a matter of this magnitude, which was a project of the provincial government, could have been concluded without hearing the side of the politicians, the Premier, the MECs, as to what they did or did not do to ensure that the officials implement their mandate, that you were ready to issue a report without hearing them?
Their side was heard, Chairperson. The Section 79, which was issued, I issued a Section 79 to the Premier, the Section 79 to the MEC, the Section 79 to the HOD. And by giving the Section 79 to them, it's hearing their side of the story. So that Section 79, when the Premier responded, the Premier indicated, because we've captured that, what he said, where he even promised to compile, it was on the 14th of July, I think it's page 50 of the report, a reconciliation on a number of cows initially procured and found during April will be performed, and that's what was included in the report, and where the Premier was also disputing the expenditure of the gate, saying it also includes a house or where some of the employees are kept, which anyway that matter was not taken into account, because in our in the report the these expenses, all this is violation of the PFMA by the accounting officer. I mean, the accounting officer violated section 86 of the PFMA, and that borders around the issue of committing a crime, because this is gross negligence by the accounting officer who was given the responsibility to run the finances. Hence, the report reflected this information, and that needs to be a serious action needs to be taken against the accounting officer, who responded to the Section 79 by saying, whatever the Premier has indicated, yes, it's my response. And I mean, being the person who is given that responsibility to be managing this project, you sign this agreement and you respond in that particular aspect. Therefore, whatever disciplinary action and whatever criminal investigation, because it can be part of the findings or the disciplinary hearing, and it should be an issue of investigating the criminality in as far as the expenditure which was conducted by the HOD. So an opportunity was, or the Section 79, which is part of the record, again, which will avail during the review process, is there, and the response from the Premier as far as this matter is concerned.
And the Honourable Matthias, and then that will be it. We have to move on after you are. I just want to put a question to the public protector to say, can she admit that for the serious omission from her part to raise the report without investigating the Premier and the MEC, taking into account the report that was given to us, where it is put very clear that the Premier and the Premier government actually ignored some instructions from the Treasurer General, and also the fact that the MEC consent refused to answer some of the questions. That on its own was not suspicious enough for them to dig into the matter, and the fact that the Premier's son was part of this.
Well, I want to agree with Honourable Tillis that I think that's what the public protector must do, admit that there's been an omission on the part. Because I fail to understand, even if there were clear indications that politicians might have been involved in the issuing of instructions and officials only acted on such instructions, that it would be common sense that the public protector in an investigation should ask and investigate politicians and ask uncomfortable questions. And a failure to ask such uncomfortable questions leaves us with many questions than answers. Officials might have been the ones found with their hands in the cookie jar, stealing from the taxpayers' money. But they wouldn't do that at their own behest, at their own volition, without political instructions, and even politicians doing oversight on what officials execute. So, ordinarily, politicians should have been asked difficult questions as to what any role it ever played of oversight was played by politicians. And failure of showing that they've played such an oversight role, they themselves must answer some difficult questions. Look, here we're dealing with a scandalous project
with the value exceeding. Okay, I want just to link this with the question I'm about to ask. That is a scandalous project. And if we've ever thought that Nkandla was a scandalous thing, this is worse than Nkandla. With a gate built or erected at that cost. And this is corruption at the supersonic speed. This is corruption at industrial scale, which must be viewed as such and be dealt, and those who are involved in this must be named and shamed. I wanted to get an answer from the public protector. Have you noted the all items which were procured, including irrigation equipment and all of that, which were procured by the Free State Department of Agriculture, which is reported on page 70. On page 18, paragraph 2.2.4, that there is stated that the National Department of Agriculture supplied the provincial government with more than 40 million worth of equipment, including irrigation equipment, tractors, and so forth and so forth. So here we're sitting with a serious case where there was double procurement on same items, on same equipment needed for the same project. I want to know if these equipment that have been procured almost on a replica or duplicating themselves, which amounts to wasteful expenditure, are they recoverable? Can they be recovered? And if not, since they cannot be recovered, is there anyone else who will be taking responsibility in recovering the loss of public, of taxpayers' money in the procurement of these items? I think there's been a double entry and double procurement of same items. We need to know if they are recoverable, and if not, is there anyone who will be taking responsibility? The Premier of the Free State and the MEC, I come from that province. They must take individual responsibility. And I'm disappointed in the remedial actions of the public protector. Not a single mention of action that must be taken to politicians. We cannot leave this matter unattended to. The Premier and the MEC must individually take responsibility over this mess. It can't just be left like this, as the report seeks to suggest that they should not take any responsibility.
You will be the last.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, I have a problem. It seems there is an indictment on the public protector's work. I thought that we were discussing the report and we look at pros and cons. Now, we are raising, I think, the Honourable and the Honourable
I think the opportunity is for you to put your own questions. The public protector is a qualified, competent person to respond to what the members have put to her.
No,
can we allow you to put your questions? She will attend to that. If they were unfair questions, she's a lawyer, she will be able to deal with that.
Now, Honourable Chair, I think it's important that I raise this matter.
May I raise a point of order, please?
I think it's important to...
Chair, this committee has engaged robustly with public protectors. You recall when Advocate Madam Seller was the public protector, this committee engaged very robustly and there was severe criticism of her conduct. Advocate Mpumwani was part of that. He was part of this committee. So I see no reason why I should continuously try to protect this public protector today. She's more than able to defend herself. And so I would ask that we continue with the meeting because we're wasting time, Chair. Thank you.
Questions. There's no need to protect anybody. The public protector is here to answer questions, and she's capable of doing so. Can we put questions to her and allow her to answer questions?
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of, I've repeated the answer that based on the complaints which were received in 2013 and 2014 and on issues which the office investigated on, were purely based on the administration of the agreement itself and the finances which were allocated to the project. I wouldn't say even during the investigation by my predecessor whether there was any omission, because the issues were determined then, the report was drafted, and the report which I received was already discussed at the internal think tank, and those were the issues which the think tank agreed on. We don't have the record. I've seen the interview of my predecessor where she was saying she requested the Free State Office to request the bank statement and whether she spoke to the Premier about the project, and the Premier referred her to the MEC. I mean, I've also seen that when she was interviewed. In preparation for the Portfolio Committee, I have written responses from the officials from the Free State that when they were saying this matter was discussed at the think tank, the issues as they were captured in that draft report, that's what they went on, and they don't have any, well, I think it's up to also presenting their side that they don't have anything in writing where they were requested to investigate issues relating to the Premier and the MEC. Again, I'm still repeating that, Honorable Matthias, that there was no omission when I took over and finalized this matter from my side, because already the matter was at a final stage. And again, I think earlier Honorable Horn was saying, but why didn't you extend the scope? I needed to also balance the fact that this report has been issued after the CX report, where there was a lot of criticism why I included the issue of going into the amendment of the mandate of the Reserve Bank to benefit the public. So it was making sure that we stick to the complaint which has been investigated, therefore not take whatever is reported in that particular aspect. And again, I gave an example of the Limpopo matter where the MEC, because of her direct involvement in the procurement of that security company, then there was a finding directly on her, and that it was because that matter was investigated in detail. And I must indicate that this matter of the all these expenses which are paid remember that the preservation order already granted, or the have applied for that, that has been granted, and that will ensure that whatever monies which were utilized, taxpayers' monies, must be recovered, because this will ensure that that process go to that level. If the officials implicated, or during the Hawks investigation, because that relates to theft, which is a criminal conduct, and during the process, if then there is a link to the politicians or whoever is implicated, I think that will help, because if it comes to them, they also have the power to even forfeit the proceeds of crime if the investigation has revealed it. So it's still not yet the end of the road as far as recovering all those wastages which were there in the Free State. And I think, again, in the investigation, it will reflect how the HOD, who was given the responsibility, because there is a criminal case against him, if the Hawks can also proceed on that aspect of, and I think he was charged recently as well, or he appeared in court, of the way he grossly misused state resources and has violated, as I've indicated, the PFMA provisions of, if you are an HOD or if you are an accounting officer and you are neglecting your responsibility to make sure that state resources are utilized effectively and efficiently, therefore that will be dealt with accordingly.
So you have satisfied yourself that the politicians exercise their oversight to the extent that you were in a position to issue a report that is balanced, that covers all the aspects.
Yes, Chairperson, on the report and the issues I've investigated, or the issues which were investigated and finalized on, that's an element which I can say I am satisfied that the key responsibility was on the accounting officer. I have mentioned that the Premier was asked why you didn't take any disciplinary action, and he responded that he was waiting for the Public Protector's report to act on whatever the outcome can be.
But individual members are free to walk in and out and address the calls of nature. Proceed.
And report on the court judgment. What about the court judgment?
The two court judgment and the CX report. You said you would address us on the findings there and what is your take on.
Yes, I think I requested a question. I asked a question on the question of funds, and you said that it will come back to that. Yes. I don't know, when are you coming back? Are you still going to move?
I'll come here to deal with that, and then you can put your question.
that.
So it would not be fair that she answers questions on something that has not been addressed.
Jefferson, I thought you would be, because the report was the process which I followed to compile, but maybe on the court judgment, the public protector issued a report on allegations of maladministration, corruption, misappropriation of public funds and failure by the South African government to recover, to implement the CX report and recover the public funds from ABSA. In the aforesaid report, the remedial actions were as follows. The public protector refers the matter to the SIU in terms of Section 64C1 of the Public Protector Act to approach the President in terms of Section 2 of the Special Investigating Units and Special Tribunals Act to reopen and amend the proclamation published in order to recover the misappropriated public funds unlawfully given to ABSA in the amount of 1.125 billion. Reopen and amend the proclamation in order to investigate alleged misappropriated funds given to various institutions as mentioned in the CX report. And then the last one was the South African Reserve Bank to cooperate fully. You'll remember, Chairperson, the original report which was issued was requesting even Parliament to deal with the issue of the provisions of the Reserve Bank in the Constitution. And that matter, I reported the last time also when I was presenting the strategic plan, that Remedial 7.2, I agreed that it be set aside by the court. On the process of how the court went ahead to hear that particular matter, even after I had said I agree to the setting aside of that particular provision. That was dealt with. And anyway, the judge decided to issue a judgment on that particular matter, which we've never appealed as an office because already I've indicated that I'm agreeing to the setting aside of that particular remedial action. And on this particular matter, the matter which judgment was issued that the referral of the matter to SIU or has made appropriate, she has exhausted the decision as to how the matter must be handled is not that of the public protector. That's what the court found. And they also court found that there were issues of point in limine which we've raised on why the matter was never or addressed by the parties at that particular matter. But then the findings are the matter to refer that was not proper, and there was a court order on attorney and client scale against the institution and personal court orders. And the finding on the personal cost orders was based on the issue of the public protector not indicating that there were two meetings with the presidency. And also it's based on suspicions that the public protector didn't disclose one of the meetings. Anyway, the meeting which I disclosed was the meeting where the meeting with the advice, legal advice of the president was dealing with this particular aspect. So on that one, I must indicate that the public protector doesn't just litigate willy-nilly or vexatiously. It was based on the issues relating to the powers of the public protector and how the investigation was conducted. And after having given all the parties implicated in the matter an opportunity in terms of Section 7-9 to respond, the process of fairness was followed. So it was making sure that this matter has been dealt with according to the relevant process. And the judgment, whether it will be appealed, I've engaged the legal team, and we are preparing to appeal that particular judgment, though there are some provisions in the judgment which there was a request for declaratory order by the one of the parties declaring on the issues of the incompetency of the public protector. If we go ahead, possibly it was also an issue of a threat to the public protector that possibly you mustn't investigate other reserve bank anymore, or you mustn't appeal any matter when it's brought to court. So that's one aspect of the matter, Chairperson. Unfortunately, it goes into the powers of the public protector and how the public protector should be performing her responsibilities. And I think I've covered the two judgments, because I've indicated that the first one, I agreed to the setting aside of that particular remedial action, and then the second one is this one.
In the CX report, you made findings or came to the conclusion that the government failed to implement the CX report, that government has failed to recover $3.2 billion from Bancorp, and that the public was prejudiced by this conduct. The court noted that your instruction to amend the mandate of the Reserve Bank caused consternation. The currency depreciated by 2.05%, $1.3 billion worth of South African government bonds were sold by non-resident investors, and banking shares reacted negatively. The Reserve Bank called for an urgent review. You initially opposed this application. You later filed an affidavit conceding all the merits and consented to all the relief sought. You agreed that your remedial action was unlawful. The court found that your attempt to pass off the remedial action as a mere recommendation was disingenuous, and that your language is peremptory. How did this happen? why did you allow such a report to leave your office? And how did you think that you were executing your mandate constitutionally when you did so? And why did you engage in litigation that was so frivolous and pointless and spurious at the expense of the taxpayer, you who complain about a shortfall in your budget? Then,
yes, Honorable Chairperson, maybe it's because I was not fired in court. I was just told that the thing is private and public protection, and they didn't know. Now, I'm not aware that how the public protector, that here was going to interrogate how the public protector was. A failure and a success. I'm not sure if it was put it that way. But when you actually say, are you aware of the fact that what we have done has affected the economy, blah, and all those things? No, I'm not sure if it is correct. Now, I'm sure if we do that with a judge that comes in here, and say, your.
What?
No, I was saying, I was not aware.
Let me make a humble plea to Honorable Mumla, an elder in this community who we hold in high regard, and who would not want to change in holding him in that regard. But can he be asked not to abuse his age? Can he be asked not to abuse
I think that I object to that, and I think that please let me be protected.
I think we shouldn't go that route that is abusing anything. I think we should just say that these are matters of public interest, and public representatives have the right to put questions to a person capable of responding, and she will respond. Proceed, Honorable Breidenbach.
Thank you, Chair. Might I remind Mr. Mpumwana of his vicious attack on the previous public protector, and I thank him to stop interrupting me. The full bench, the Reserve Bank, APSA, and the Treasury then challenged the rest of your CX report. The full bench of the North Gauteng High Court found that you met with the State Security Agency, that you offered them the opportunity to react to your draft or interim reports, that you failed to afford the Reserve Bank and your APSA the same opportunity, and that you deliberately contravened the law. The court found that it was proven that you are reasonably suspected of bias and that your conduct is procedurally unfair. The court found it necessary to express their displeasure with your unacceptable conduct and your persistence in pursuing your application, your opposition of the matter, by imposing a personal and punitive cost order. Why did you allow this to happen? Why did you conduct yourself in such a fashion? And how do you think that this is conduct becoming of a public protector? Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's now 12:54 and today's Tuesday. We are supposed to be at plenary at 2 o'clock. Is it possible maybe to, I don't know, procedurally to move over to that side, requesting to move over to that side, so that, because there are still issues which we need to engage with public protest. Yeah. I don't think we'll be done by 2 because we still have
take even more time to move. Could we just first appeal to the members to be a point?
Because I see this interaction
that's taking much of our time. Let's move on and see if we can cope, but your concern is very sound. We'll see. Let's move on in a bit. Honorable Ron?
Yes, thank you, Chair. In light of that, I'll limit myself to one question. Chair, the public protector went on to frankly speaking on Sunday the 25th of February. where she was also addressing this very matter. And I must say to her credit that at first she said she did not want to venture into the merits or demerits of this finding because she's still taking legal advice. But then to my amazement, she twice then later on in the interview specifically said that she's of the view that the bench in this matter did not bring an impartial mind to the matter, which I think is very problematic. The public protector is an admitted advocate of the court, and she would well know, as she indicated herself at first during the interview, that the way one addresses a court judgment with which you don't agree is by either reviewing it or taking it on appeal. So I think she must explain to us why she ventured into this matter in this manner, which could constitute contempt of court. But then secondly, Chair, the only explanation she gave for her statement that the court did not deal objectively and impartially with the facts and the law was in the statement she again repeated today, that the court erred in finding that she met twice with the presidency on this matter. But then, the only way we now know that she met twice with the presidency is because the South African Reserve Bank found her notes on the two meetings in amongst the documents she discovered. And the second meeting, to which the Honourable Breitenbachels has already referred, which took place after her final, she gave the Reserve Bank a final opportunity to comment on her draft report. She then met with the presidency a second time, and according to the notes, the issue discussed was not executive ethics, but the reopening or the re-referral of the matter to the SIU. So I think the public protector must explain to us why she keep on insisting that the second meeting was not in respect of this matter, because it's quite clear that the court didn't come to this finding from nowhere. The court came to this finding from the documents discovered by her very office. Thank you, Chair.
No, Chair, thank you. I think we have canvassed the first judgment in this meeting, but I think it's very important just to understand what the word disingenuous means. It means, according to the Oxford Dictionary, means conduct that is not sincere, typically by pretending that one knows less about something when one really does. Other words are dishonest, deceitful, underhanded, duplicitous. So, Chair, I think that allegation is very serious, and I would ask the public protector, in light of that first judgment where the judge said she would do well to reflect more deeply on her conduct of this investigation and the criticism of her by the Governor of the Reserve Bank and the Speaker of this Parliament. Firstly, whether she has reflected more deeply on her conduct. And then as far as the second judgment is concerned, the full bench indicated on page 63, the question remains unanswered as to why she had acted in such a secretive manner, and she does not give an explanation for doing so. And then a very serious issue is that the public protector did not conduct herself in a manner which should be expected from a person occupying the office of public protector. In these proceedings, and the Reserve Bank submissions in this group, regard are warranted, she did not have regard that her office requires her to be objective, honest, and deal with matters according to the law, and a higher standard is expected of her. So I appreciate, Public Protector, that you may decide to appeal that, and that you're fully right to. But these are very serious indictments that I'd ask you to respond to as far as you are able. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
I can't pronounce all the languages correctly.
No, I forgive the issue. Oh, there is a red five times into the TV.
Oh, okay.
As a peaceful man, I will succumb.
Thanks, Chairperson, and I would like to just to to put these straightforward questions to the public protector, more especially after the full page of the North County High Court ruling, which they clearly show, even if you are the public protector, that as a public protector you instructed the SIU, which according to the court ruling was illegal. And again, as a public protector, you misled the people of South Africa by not disclosing my meeting with the president twice in my report. And also, acted in a manner which is inconsistent with the Constitution. As a protector, and also unlawfully acted in terms of the instructing the remedial action to the SIU. So my question is simple. Do you think you are capable in Quebec to run this institution of the public protector if there are so much judgment findings against you like this? Thank you, Chairman.
I thought you were saying that to see on the question the cases of the parliament. When you say
thank you, Chairperson. Well, my first question would be the mandate from what my colleague has said, the meeting with the former president. I just want to establish a public protector whether was that meeting for interviewing the president regarding the work that we do, investigation, or was the meeting asking for advice from the president? That is my first question. But the last one will be on the issue of your remedial action that was set aside, and you said to us you then decided not to appeal such setting aside. Then my question is then, what does this say about, no, let me put it this way. If you are not appealing the remedial action, you say appeal set aside. What does that say about the status of the whole APSA matter now? Is it the end of it? Or maybe there will be another chance to look at the matter, but since that the court has decided. And if it's at the end of it, what does this say about the validity and authenticity of the CX report? Were you misled, or all of us in the public were we misled about such a report, if it is the end of the APSA story? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Look, we're dealing here with serious matter which is referred to as adverse court judgment. Adverse court judgment. Serious matter. And anything which is adverse is beyond that which could be described as serious. Now, I hope that's the understanding would I would like the public protector to share with us. In the findings here of the court, she is reported to have agreed that her remedial action is unlawful and that only Parliament has such powers to amend the Constitution in relation to the powers of the Reserve Bank. And having admitted that her conduct and the remedial action were or are unlawful. Has she deeply reflected on her conduct, which has reputational damage to the standing of the Office of the Public Protector? Two, she is reported having issued instructions to the Special Investigative Unit to request the President to reopen the investigation into the Bengal, something which clearly she does not have powers to do. Once more, realizing that she has no powers to make such instructions, and instructions which would amount to an unlawful, illegal conduct, has she reflected on this important matter? Lastly, the matter of the Bangkok and the CIE Act is an important matter. That aside, had it been handled with care, with an office which understands and appreciates its constitutional mandate, we'll be talking a different matter now, about an amount which is in excess of 3.2 billion. Had it been managed, that matter, had that matter been managed properly? Yes, I'm getting to my question. Had that process been handled by suitably competent office, don't she think that she has deprived of the nation of that value of amount of money which had been, which would have been put in good use for the developmental purpose and objective of this country? And if the answer is yes, why can she consider now and here a need to do the honorable thing? And there's only one honorable thing for her to do, is to do what the person who appointed her has done in the person of Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. It appears in the report that the public protector had two meetings with the president, of which I think she alluded that one of the meetings she met with the legal advisor. But also in the report it says that such meetings were not communicated with the South African Reserve Bank and APSA. And that there are no transcripts of the meetings of the 25 April 2017, a meeting which later she did disclose, but the other meeting of the 7 June 2017, which was not disclosed. So I just want to know as to why is that, why didn't she, I think, disclose the two meetings to SARB and to APSA. The second question is that it also indicated that she also met with the state security agents, and also that meeting was also not communicated to South African Reserve Bank or to APSA. Why was that? And the last question, it also appeared that the public protector also met with the Black First, Land First at their request. Which I don't think is the wrong thing. However, also in the report it says that she turned down a similar request from APSA, though she managed to meet with the Black First, Land First, but it says that she turned down a request by APSA for a similar meeting. So I just want to know why is that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the first case, the one in which the public protector agreed that the remedial action should be set aside, I would like to know from the public protector, having experienced this, what lessons have we learned from this experience? What should we expect from your good office going forward? Now, I wanted to engage on the matter where you were supposed to be personally liable, but having heard that you contemplate appealing the matter, I want to reserve my comment for now. Thanks very much.
Ke nnete maloko a komiti ya mantšhi a laeditše ka mo go tletseng seatla gore go na le tše dingwe tša dilo tše di santse a sepela ga botse tše mošireletsi wa setšhaba a bego a swanetse go ba a dietse tlhoko kudu ye e laeditšeng ke bohlomphego mola ntate Kgosana yela ya bolutšhini e mebedi e meraro le tlhogo ya naga ya nako eo le tlhogo ya le kgoro ya tsa bosodi state security. I hope you are still with me. Yes, thank you. I know because she normally greets me in my language. Jalo e ke duma a no botsa setšhaba ka kakaretso gore ba seka phela ba ne dikgonono gore na mola a tshwanetse gore a re šireletse e re yena nke o ne kgethologanyo o baka tlhakori le lengwe ba bangwe ge ba re ore o gana nna ya basadi ke re ga a botse setšhaba gore na ke eme seo kgwekgo ya taba e ba tlogang ba e duletše. And then secondly, Chairperson, when one goes to paragraph 120 in page, I think it's 54, Honorable Maila has alluded to, on appealing of the judgment, may you kindly share with the committee, are you appealing the whole judgment, or where it specifically relates to a declaration or the essay? And again, as I'm aware that the South African Reserve Bank didn't amend their document to that effect, to India players' notice of motion, to that effect to ask for that. And then again, on paragraph 124, page 66, personal liability, whereby the court ordered that you, in your personal capacity, let me use that clear one. In personal capacity, yes, you pay 15% of the. Kindly share with us. I'm aware that yes, you intend appealing this, but take into consideration again that litigation, especially from PPSA, is taking much of the budget. How do you then reconcile the two? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think I would like to also place it on record. I think when the matter was raised, why? Because the preparation was, or the agenda we received from the Chairperson was to discuss the media statement and the capacity constraints. But again, as I indicated, I will always cooperate with the committee. And the matter of the agreeing that 7.2 be set aside was discussed in the previous committee meeting of 5 October 2017. But I will refer to the response, and of which I also responded to questions I never responded to that time in writing to the portfolio committee. I will refer to that document. Honorable Breitenbach, in that particular discussion, I responded to the questions which you have asked, and again that first judgment, the Murphy judgment, I indicated that I agree that the matter be set aside, because when the agent application was lost, it was an agent application. I didn't make a decision immediately and decide not to oppose, but I needed to consult with the legal team. Whilst we know that if it means we defend the matter to its end, we will be defending the matter. Hence, I agreed that the matter be set aside and the process stopped at that particular instance. So, and the cost for that particular matter ended when I said the matter can be set aside. The issue of the judge continuing with hearing the matter is beyond my doing, because the judge decided to hear all other parties in the matter even after I said I agree that the matter be set aside. On the issue of meeting with the which was dealt with in the current judgment, I've indicated in my affidavit why I met with the SSA, because there was an original interview of the then DG of SSA, Mr. Masetla. And to make sure that the current leadership of SSA are aware of this agreement, indeed is a valid agreement which we can go ahead and issue our report based on. It was purely part of the investigation. And that has been disclosed in the report, because I've indicated that there was that meeting to confirm that. And it was not something which I would say it has been hidden. The meeting with the president, I didn't meet with the president. I met with the legal advisor of the president, Advocate McKenzie. There was a first meeting where we were discussing the work and the operations, because a lot of the referrals of AMIA matters, we write letter if the matter has not been finalized within 30 days to the president, to inform, we've received this complaint, and this matter won't be finalized within 30 days. And we were agreeing on how we will be dealing with these matters, because you find that there's a lot of other backlog matters we've received, and there is no report which is issued. So it was, there was a meeting relating to that, purely that. That meeting wouldn't have been disclosed. I don't know whether Mr. Skosana is there. Mr. Skosana, because you also mentioning that particular matter, because it was not relating to this investigation. The matter which was disclosed was relating to this investigation, and it was disclosed in the report, in the sense that the president was issued a Section 79. Again, Section 79 says if a person is implicated or if a person has an action to take as far as the report I'm issuing, it's the issue of procedural fairness. When the Section 79 was issued to the president, the legal advisor of the president requested a meeting, because one of the remedial actions in the provisional report was referring to a commission of inquiry, saying we've taken the matter on review, especially in the state of Capture One, because the public protector cannot instruct the president to perform his powers. Then there was a discussion then to check what other options can be dealt with, because this matter needed further investigation. Again, to clarify the issue of the SIU, because the SIU proclamation, again, is still the prerogative of the president, but in this particular instance, there was an existing proclamation. Hence, and the matter was not finalized, because there was never a report, again, to determine where is the report of the CS. So it was during the investigation, and I would say I was conducting that investigation the way I conduct other investigation, getting information from all the parties concerned, and there was never a time where
I would say I'm doing things secretly or I'm not reflecting. That meeting was requested by the presidency to clarify their response to the Section 7-9. And I must indicate as well that, Honorable Horn, the matter when it was before court, the very same records, I didn't hide anything. We availed all the section, the Rule 53 records. If I had intentions of hiding certain information, I would have removed those handwritten, and it was not my handwriting. It was one of the investigators in the meeting who was writing those things. So I wouldn't know what the person is thinking when we are having a meeting or what they are writing during the meeting. So that was the record, everything was available. Again, that proves that I was not hiding anything in this particular issue. On the issue of the frankly speaking, Chairperson, I think again I refer to the very same thing which I was referring to earlier, that you find that in some of the issues, such issues are quoted in court papers when the opposition parties are, or opposing parties are submitting information that I said. It was a question of the matter being taken, whether I'll be appealing or not. And I was saying I'm still considering the matter, but I feel that certain provisions in the report, again, I will respond to Honorable Matthias and I think it's Honorable Skosana on this matter. The issue of instructing SIU, it was because in the report, the court findings that the public protector imposed remedial action which went beyond the scope of the powers, that she had acted unlawfully when she instructed the SIU to request the president to reopen the investigation into the lifeboat, would not warrant the removal. In fact, it's one of the issues which was mentioned by the court. It's strange that for me, going to the High Court, the very same High Court, the North County, where the court found in favor of the public protector's judicial review, because I've opposed that particular judicial review, which was lodged by the president against the state of capture report, where the judge said, the president is, the public protector can instruct the president to do that, even if the issue of the Judicial Commission of Inquiry is the prerogative only of the president. In this particular instance, there is no report by the SIU, and the SIU never finalized its this matter with a report. The only thing which is available is a statement, media statement, which has been issued. Therefore, in the very same judgment, there's conflict between there's where they are mentioning that the report, but again, they acknowledge that it's not a report, but it's a media statement. So it was based on the fact that there's no final report in this particular matter, hence the matter is going back to the SIU for the SIU to recover. And that report was not specific to who, but it was saying the money which was given to ABSA. So it was based on that. And again, ABSA Reserve Bank was given a Section 7-9. ABSA was given a Section 7-9, an opportunity to respond based on procedural fairness. The president was given a Section 7-9. They responded, they requested a meeting to explain their response. Reserve Bank never requested to have a meeting to explain their response. ABSA never requested a meeting to explain their response. So it was a follow-up to the Section 7-9. Hence, the meeting is not mentioned there because a Section 7-9 was issued to ABSA to respond. So, Honorable Swart, my conduct, it was based on sincerity. And again, I've done the investigation in good faith. I think the Public Protector Act indicates that I've conducted this investigation. I didn't have any other secretive or whatever meeting, I'm indicating here the only meeting I had, not with the president, with the legal advisor, because they were wanted to clarify their response to the remedial action. And Honorable Mulaudza, I think I've mentioned the issue of instruction of the SIU. That is strange. The same court is saying I can't instruct the SIU, but then the same court said the public protector can instruct the president where the president is conflicted to appoint or to perform his constitutional responsibility. And the meeting, I've explained why twice. In fact, the twice is because, I mean, we gave everything, but the one meeting it was discussing the issue of this particular matter which we were investigating. Honorable Nkwabe has already left. Okay, the meeting with the former president, I didn't meet with the former president to discuss this matter. I met with the legal advisor of the former president, Advocate McKen.
You did not care to meet. Can you explain why?
There was no way. There's no record to that. ABSA didn't request to meet with me. Reserve Bank never requested to meet. They responded to the Section 7-9. The only request from ABSA and Reserve Bank was that they want me to send them the final report before I publish, of which I don't operate like that because already I've given them the Section 7-9. And I think another problem they had was that why now I've changed referring the matter to SIU instead of the provisional report which was saying refer the matter for Commission of Inquiry. So it was only the difference of the institution which can take the matter forward. On the issue of setting aside, decided not to, that one, I've also repeated over and over that I can't comment on that because the judge decided to go ahead and hear the matter even after I said I agree that the matter can be set aside, that remedial action can be set aside. So for the judge to go ahead and hear the matter and pronounce on the judgment, I don't know. So the question was whether the whole ABSA matter, the report was still valid because it was not set aside, the whole report in the initial judgment. The report was still valid. Hence now the second judgment is setting aside the report. But I must indicate, Chairperson, the second judgment also doesn't deal with the crux of the matter, because both the Judge Davis and Judge Heath found that the transaction is unlawful. This judgment doesn't deal at all with that particular aspect. It only deals with the issue of procedural fairness and issues relating to that. Unfortunately, the judgment now says the report is set aside. Review matters most of the time is when the matter is set aside, then it can be looked into by the institution which compiled or that particular report. But then it goes back to what Honorable Mitabo was asking, whether I'm appealing the whole report or it's only on the issue of the personal cost. So there's a lot of inconsistencies in the judgment, but again, it's another issue of going into details with it.
Have you ever worked for state security?
Yes, I worked for state security.
When last were you employed by them?
On when I started as the public protector in October 2016, and I worked there for 3 months. Yes. Which period? Because, yes, I've answered that question, Honorable Chairperson, that the state security, I met with them because the agreement, there was a contract was signed between State Security and was signed by Billy Masetla on behalf of State Security and the CX company. So it was to make sure, to determine, do you know the existence of this agreement? Indeed, are you obliged to, in fact, were you obligated by this contract? So that was a confirmation that yes, this contract was signed by the then, it was called South African Secret Services. So they were confirming that, because this report actually involves a lot of them, because that contract between CX was signed by South African Secret Service on behalf of the South African government. Hence, it was part of the investigation. I think Honorable Matthias was indicated at the court judge was finding set aside that matter. Already responded that I agree that Section 72 be set aside. And instructing SIU, I've indicated that it's strange that the same court has found that a president can be instructed, but the SIU cannot, and especially because there's no, that matter was never brought to finality. There's no report in that particular aspect. And the content of the matter were never dealt with, especially the amount which we said it can be recovered. The court never dealt with that issue.
Thank you very much. I think it's quite clear that we didn't need anybody.
Yes, I'm not done, Chairperson. Okay, yes. Honorable Skosan, I've answered the matter of two meetings. One was relating to the matter, one was relating to my work as a public protector. And I think Honorable Matthias indicated I should do a good thing and resign like the President Zuma. I must indicate that, I mean, Honorable Matthias, I committed to serve the South Africans in this particular aspect, and the process was a transparent process to appoint the public protector, and I think the National Assembly recommended to the then president for the appointment. I don't think he had anything to do with my appointment. And the SSA meeting, I've mentioned why. It's mentioned in the report that I had a meeting with SSA. It was never hidden. BLF, I've mentioned in my affidavit. If you can go to the website, my affidavit is there. I've indicated that meeting by BLF. We've attached all the documents. BLF requested a meeting to discuss Baboba Mukhale, the issue of AFSA, and the issue of the Alexandra constructors. This was a by-the-way issue. It was not the issue that they came specifically for me to discuss this. And I've attached the records. Are they in the Rule 53 where I've indicated there's no way where we discuss. BLF was only told in that meeting, as far as the matter of AFSA is concerned, the report is being finalized. If you want to make any submission, submit it. And that record is there in court. They submitted as BLF. That matter was never considered because they wanted us to go and investigate the tax implications, which was never dealt with. It's one of the issues they brought, which was never dealt with in the report. So, Honorable Mayila, I think I've mentioned in the previous, on the 5th of October 2017, that the question was asked the lessons learned in this particular issue, where I've mentioned that operating as an ombudsman institution, where an ombudsman, the way you investigate matters, the recommendation part, and where anything I'll be mentioning going forward because of the Nkandla judgment, it's where anything which I mention as a remedial action is, in fact, as a recommendation, is a binding remedial action. And I indicated that going forward, I'll make sure that whatever I mention in the report, which is not a remedial recommendation, which is not of a binding nature, I'll expressly state that, that this is not of a binding nature, but it is submission or it is give guidance to say this is to be taken into consideration. And Honorable Mutau, I get no more like a spade, making you chick over pity. In this matter, ki chakisise all the information. Ngebe nekifisa anything. Ngebe kisele certain information from the Rule 53 records can fit hori eba skaibon. Mara ri lera rafa yoyo kentwene vayabanda. And gamu kwa kisho hori, kumitali president, alizanka ta mitali president to discuss this matter, kimetileli legal advisor in the presidency's office. Not liye naka discuss this. And I'm saying the two meetings, one meeting was to discuss especially the remedial action yapo referela the matter to the Commission of Inquiry. Govani yama tomo provisional report near the Commission of Inquiry. Mara gai change after bona bari. Urifida Section 7-9, that very process, like any other one. Mara rona, rinyaka ku respond, mara rinke, rito discuss. And how about you to discuss about your no? We are on review that this matter. Mara usai repeat. And then waba for okay, but because there's a proclamation existing, a rekubuliwe proclamation is. Mara we are not capable in to kitchen for the community. Now to find out for the FIU direction, Mara the other report via state of capture president. Appoint a commission of inquiry, it's fine. So that's a challenge where one is facing Hori. The appeal again is that Hori. As a public protector, my powers and is it not the real, that a threat to me doing my work? Hona nukunani there's a judicial review, ya kasaka the DA, and they are also speaking about personal costs. If in this particular matter, yes, I don't have the resources as an office. You've got complainants. I mean, there's an entire NEF. I don't have the resources to do that. But on this one, why is it that the people who are not able to do it and in a good faith and a transparent manner? Because that money wouldn't have been claimed from me if I'm given a civil protect. So, when I'm getting it, any other civil protector, after any decision in terms of would see an impact on the Reserve Bank, or after any court judgment that must appeal, which is a right to do in this country. And I mean, it's so strange because a lot of appeal court, in fact, judges' decisions are appealed in a high court. The high court, the Supreme Court of Appeal, some of the judgments are set aside. Some of the judgments, I mean, I'm operating in that space, especially after the Uganda judgment, to say your remedial actions are binding. And it's like an order of court. So then I'm finding myself in that predicament, and I would request, because this is my last comment, Chairperson, I expect the assistance of the committee, because I get your, I expect your support as far as that is concerned. A constitutional institution, how to do my work going forward, because you're trying to protect the public, but again you are perceived to be having secret dealings, and I've availed all the information in my power. Hence I'm saying I'm glad with the freedom matter I will update any record which I have in my position so that the judgment, the decision can be taken. So unfortunately that one now is facing the courts are used to then assess the way. But again the courts, there's a judgment, it will go to appeal or even to the constitutional court. it can be come up with a different outcome. Why must I be judged on one judgment? And it's the only judgment which I'm found out after issuing so many other reports which state institutions have agreed to implement. But then I'm finding myself that you are in a position where there are certain institutions which are constitutional institutions I'm having jurisdiction over. But if you then move into that terrain, it's a situation of not, and you can't touch.
I just want to assure you that we didn't request you to appear here to put you on trial. We asked you to appear because we have a responsibility to defend and protect the office of the public protector. We also have a responsibility to ensure that you are not unfairly attacked, accused, and that when people are having their political fights, they shouldn't use this office or you in those fights. And that's why we didn't want this matter to be resolved through the media, that you should speak for yourself. And that's why I deliberately didn't want anybody to speak on your behalf as if there's something that you are hiding, and then you wanted anybody to defend you. And I think you have discharged yourself very well. And all that, all those who have ears to hear and eyes to see have seen for themselves. And I must also thank you that you came to appear before us at short notice. And we appreciate your cooperation with this committee. And there are also issues of capacity, issues of the budget that you still want to raise with us. We will afford you an opportunity to come back and make submissions so that we can give due regard to your submissions. And we are willing to cooperate with your office and with you. And if you want to approach us, even if it's not at our request, you are free to approach us. And I want to thank you very much. Thank you. Bye. So the meeting is adjourned.